All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton, Valentine's Week edition of the show as I record here in the middle of Thursday afternoon. My wife and I are not big Valentine's Day people, and a good friend of mine, her dad once said Valentine's Day is for the amateurs. I truly believe that, and so it's just another day in the Bobby Game Day household, let me tell you what, right now. But hey, you can't blow off Valentine's Day unless you do things the other times of the year, and that's always been our philosophy because it's a commercial holiday, you know, it's a Hallmark type thing. We're not interested. But then, you know, random times of the year, that's when you got to come up with some other stuff. So forget about Valentine's for the next little while here. As we get set to go, we got a lot to get to on the show. Of course, the free agency window is about to open up in a little less than a month, but there's already been news as far as cuts. The Buccaneers cutting Vinny Curry. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Donovan Smith. We'll talk about Quan Alexander. We'll talk about Kareem Hunt and Ronald Jones. We'll talk about New Jersey high schools cutting down on hitting in football practice. We'll talk about all those things on the day. On the show today, brought to you again by Bill Curry Ford, where now they are announcing a new lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles, including unlimited years, unlimited miles, a 10-year roadside assistance program, and one-year complimentary service. So take her in for your oil changes right there at Bill Curry Ford. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Or you can see all the details on the website at BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. Go see Sean Sullivan, good friend of mine, fellow Jesuit grad. He's the new general manager at Bill Curry Ford. And you mentioned Joe Bucks Fan. You mentioned the Free Stretch. You mentioned Bobby Fenton, whatever. You get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing and the new lifetime warranty. And let me tell you something else. If you're into classic cars, they've got something going on next Friday night, the 22nd at 7 p.m., again, at the site of Bill Curry Ford, which is 5815 North Dale Mabry Highway, the Bill Curry Ford Classic Ford Car Show. They're going to have tons of old classic Mustangs. They've got a restored 1970 Boss 429 reveal and a bunch of other stuff. It should be a lot of fun, so you can get down there and check it out, or again, go to the website at BillCurryFord.com. So all the things we have to get to today, and I wanted to start off with the first actual tangible move that the team has made. The only real news there is that isn't speculation, and that is cutting Vinny Curry, which was not surprising, but Vinny Curry was released by the team earlier this week, and so along with him goes his $8 million cap hit for 2019, which the Bucs will now not have to absorb, which is good news for the Bucs. And we know they didn't have a ton of space coming into this offseason. We knew they were going to do some things to free up. Carl Nassib being picked up from the Browns and then playing well, offering really good production there, makes this an easy call, as he makes a lot less than Vinny Curry against the cap and is better anyway. So there's a move made. Now, if you're thinking about, hey, what else are the Bucs going to do? Just to make some references to past seasons when they've started to make cuts, you know, the league year, as they call it, the official league year for the new year starts after March, so, or in mid-March, early March, whatever the exact date is. So the Bucs in years past, last year they cut Doug Martin February 20th, they cut Chris Baker February 20th, year before that, I believe they cut Alteron Werner. That was February 23rd. So it's only today's Valentine's Day as I record this. And if you're listening to this anytime in the next few days, we're still before all those things. So any other moves, you know, that still could be coming, plenty of time for those. But the thing with Vinny Curry and Ira, the Sage, wrote a nice piece on JoeBucksFan.com about how the Bucks basically publicly admitted failure on this move, and how they didn't do their homework and it didn't work out. And, you know, this is one of those, the latest in a long series of swings and misses in free agency. And it's all true. I mean, that is what happened with this move. But I'm not going to blame the Bucks for trying to do something in a vacuum. I mean, free agency is one of those things, and this is my thing when it comes to free agency with most sports, and I look back as a Tampa sports fan over all the years, and there's examples. I mean, there's, you know, you want to look at like good free agency pickups. You got someone like Hardy Nickerson or something comes to mind with the Bucks, but I also remember, you know, Alvin Harper. And, you know, this is, again, going back to when I was growing up a long time ago. But aren't the names that litter the past much more numerous in free agent acquisitions that you would call them total busts, some of them, or some of them, just all of them, all told, if you go back over the years, for the most part, always seem to underwhelm more than overwhelm, right? Especially when it's not just re-signing your own guys who are free agents and keeping them here, but, you know, bringing in guys from the outside. So Vinny Curry didn't work out, and I get it. But the thing about free agency, and this is what it always comes down to, and this is going to apply to the Bucks again, for other guys they want to bring in or that people want them to bring in, or our own guys, and whether or not we're going to hang on to them. So whether it's Donovan Smith, whether it's Humphries, whether it's Tyrann Mathieu coming from another team, whether it's Matt Bryant coming from another team, whether it's Kwan coming off the ACL injury, you know, whatever it is, there's a bunch of names. And Bill Polian said it best, and this is just how it works in life. All over Twitter, all over Joe Bucks fan, anywhere else, you just constantly keep seeing, oh, so-and-so's not worth that money. Oh, God, I can't believe they're going to pay him this much money. Donovan Smith, they're already talking about, and it looks like the Bucks are going to keep Donovan Smith, by the way. And Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucks for the Tampa Bay Times, has said the indication he's gotten is that if they don't come to an agreement with Donovan Smith on an actual long-term contract, which would probably be in the neighborhood of $12 to $13 million a year, then the Bucks are going to franchise him, which is not something they do a ton of, but they'll do it in this case probably if they can't get Smith signed. And that would be 1 year, and the franchise tag there would come to about $14 million a year for the 1 year, you know, kind of let's see what happens type thing. And so you'll see everybody, oh my God, Donovan Smith's not worth that much. I can't believe the Bucks would do that. And you know what? You're right. He's not worth that much. Guess what? With free agency, none of these guys are worth that much. And if you're someone like me, and I would hesitate to call myself cheap, but others who know me would not hesitate at all to call me cheap, I hate overpaying for anything. I mean, I'm always looking for deals. I'm always willing to take better value, even if it's somewhat lower quality, because nothing bugs me more than paying more than I feel like I should have paid for something. I'm the type of guy, all right, that goes t-shirt shopping at the local thrift stores where every t-shirt's $2. My entire closet is filled with shirts that I love that have that perfect fabric and that perfect hang. You know how you get a t-shirt sometimes and it's just perfect? And I found those over and over at the local thrift stores. I would never go pay $25 for a t-shirt. That's what a new t-shirt costs now. I mean, not the ones off the rack at like Target or Walmart, just the standard solid color t-shirt, which those are, again, good value. But if you want to get like a t-shirt, like you go to, you know, one of the big sporting goods stores or even the mall or something like that, I would never buy it. I see these t-shirts on the rack there and I think to myself, how? Like, how is even one person coming in here and buying these shirts at these prices? I think it's crazy. Okay, and you know, I got these shirts at the thrift store. The best part is I can buy four or five of them, and if only three of them worked out, I'm out $8. And I still have three good t-shirts. The shirt I'm wearing right now came from the thrift store. It's great. And most of them are like new. Maybe they've been slightly worn, so what? And you can feel them all and get to try them on, get the fabric just right. I mean, anyway, my point is that's the type of guy I am, okay? But I'm not trying to run a football team. I'm not accountable to anybody with my wardrobe except for maybe my wife, who is frequently embarrassed at my wardrobe. But that's not the point. The point here is I'm not accountable to a fan base, and I'm not depending on a fan base to consume my product and help me make money. So when you're running a football team, it's a little bit different. And so when you see these numbers getting thrown out there, you know, Donovan Smith, he got drafted in 2015, and that's four seasons ago, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018. There's 16 games in a season. Four times 16 is 64. And that's exactly the number of games he started and not missed in a row since then. 64. He's been the starter at left tackle every game since they drafted him. And I don't mean that just being available is everything, okay? But that's a big deal. I mean, that's something that's a feather in his cap. And that's something that the Bucks have come to rely on. And the idea of going it alone and going out and finding a new left tackle, which you're still going to have to pay for, probably isn't something the Bucks are interested right now in. And so voila, Donovan Smith gets $14 million a year maybe, or at least $12 to $13 million a year. And that's going to shock people. Oh my God, I can't believe this guy's breaking the bank. He's not even that good. He's not a top-tier left tackle. I guess he's not a top-tier left tackle in the league, but you know what he is? He's a top-tier unsigned left tackle. All that matters is who this year right now are the guys people need. And if the Bucs didn't sign him, somebody else would. And there's where the price thing comes back to again. You know, Adam Humphries, who I love, who I hope the Bucs keep, he's not worth $8 million a year, but that's what it's going to take because he's a top-flight guy available right now. If there was 40 slot receivers available, then he may not be one. You know, it's all about who's out there right now, and the money's there, okay? So when I look at those T-shirts that I was talking about on the rack at the specialty stores, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that, and I look at the price tag, and it's like $23, $24, $25 for a T-shirt, and I go, this is crazy. I would never spend this. How do they even make any money pricing it this way? Who buys this? Somebody does. That's why it's the price. So even though it's not worth it, just like the old saying goes, you're worth whatever somebody will pay. There's always somebody out there who doesn't give a crap about any of this and will just pay for it. Maybe you're one of those people, and that's fine. I mean, it's your money. Everybody's got different philosophies and lifestyles. I've got friends who are just like, hey, I like that shirt. They don't even look at the price tag. And I'm not saying they're rich or anything, but some people just don't care. They see something they want or they think they need, they acquire it. Me, I'll agonize over it for a couple days. Okay, let me go back on Amazon and check here. Let me run to the thrift store. If I still don't find anything, all right, then maybe I'll go back and overpay for this T-shirt. But until then, absolutely not. Other people just don't even blink. You know, what's a beer cost? I don't drink, okay, but what's a beer cost at Raymond James Stadium right now? And I'm just using Raymond James because it's our stadium, but at any of these stadiums, really. It's like $8, $9. Is a cup of beer worth $9? An entire six-pack at the store is, what do they charge for that? Less than that. And one cup is $9, $10? Is it worth it? No. But why does it cost that much? Because the asshat sitting next to you with his shirt off, drunk out of his mind, and a wad of dollar bills in his pocket doesn't care. He just shoves the money down the aisle, says, give me another beer. People, if y'all stop buying beer for $9, okay? I'm sorry I'm yelling. I'm getting worked up. If y'all stop buying beer for $9 every week and it just didn't sell, then beer would probably cost $5 or $6. But they price it as high as they do because people keep buying it. Free agents are the same way. Bill Polian, the great Bill Polian, who, by the way, hell of a job with the AAF rollout this past weekend. I enjoyed the football games. Even though they weren't even great, I just enjoyed having football. But the great Bill Polian, NFL GM, now he's working on the AAF. His quote, his famous quote, in free agency, you pay A money for B players. And that's what you do, because those B players are the guys who are out there. Most of the A players are already signed. So you have to pay now all this huge money to people who, if you just sat there and said, oh, let's rank the left tackles in the league, Donovan Smith wouldn't be in the top five, but every year it just gets bigger, so whoever's up for their contract that year, they're going to be one of the highest paid guys. Then next year, there'll be a new crop of guys. So again, no matter who it is, whether it's this guy, that guy, or the other guy, that's how it's going to work. And Donovan Smith was on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and he made it pretty clear he wants to be here. They were talking to him. He said, quote, I love Tampa, the community, my teammates, everybody there. And it seems like he wants to be back here. And again, according to Rick Stroud, it seems like he will be back here, whether it's on the one-year franchise deal or not. And I'm fine with that. And that's why you see moves, again, like the one with Vinnie Curry, to free up that type of money. Now, what's going to happen with Quan? I really enjoyed the commish, Justin's podcast this week, and his rant while driving to work about how much money Quan's worth or not. And we'll see. He's more expendable, I think, than Donovan Smith, and he's coming off the ACL injury. And, you know, they're talking about all these numbers. You see, again, on Twitter, you see, oh, $10 million more than that. And, you know, it seems high coming off an ACL injury. Like Justin said, and he was right, he's not a big guy. He relies on his speed more than even other linebackers do. And so when you have a guy who's missed four games or more each year, he's coming off an ACL the last year. You know, guys don't just, hey, I'm good now. I'm like, guys with injury histories don't just bounce back and then they're totally fine. There's a good chance he might get hurt again. So I don't know. Matt Bryant says Tampa's a real option. Those were his words. Still has a house here. He was not cut by the Falcons. They're simply not picking up his option, so he's still technically a contracted player. So nothing will happen with him until the free agency window opens up in a few weeks. But we'll keep an eye on that. Whether it's going to be Cairo Santos or this Dutch guy or Matt Bryant remains to be seen. But again, I mean, no one's going to be worth what they end up getting. You're going to see all these numbers, and it's going to be like, are you kidding me? Get the hell out of here with that. That's way too much money. But that, and baseball, too. You see baseball, you know, you got Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sitting out there, still unsigned. Pitchers and catchers are already reporting in some places. And these are two of the best players in the game. They don't have teams because these owners are finally like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm not doing it. I'm not paying $300 million. Although they did offer Bryce Harper $300 million, and he turned it down. It's insanity. And I'm not saying I'm siding with the owners and that they should just keep all the money. But I'd love to see the fans get a little bit of this money and see ticket prices go down and all these things that we always talk about, how much money it costs to do all this stuff. And then when you say, oh, well, they make too much money, and someone goes, well, would you rather the owners keep it? No, I'd rather, you know, maybe some of it come back to the fans. But either way, you know, and really and truly, when you look at the Bucks' list of needs and what, and any team, not just the Bucks, and what they're going to have to be facing here in this offseason, you know a lot more after the draft, and I get why they can't reverse, you know, because they want to have the draft later in the spring, and they want to have the evaluation process and gives teams time. But really and truly, shouldn't the draft be before free agency, if you think about it? Like, shouldn't you have the draft? Because you don't know how the draft, you know who the free agents are. Like, you know the list of players who are free agents. You don't know with the draft how it's going to unfold, who's there when you pick, and this and that, and all these different scenarios that could come, trade up, trade down. Who knows until that day comes? So if you had the draft first, and then, okay, well, hey, we drafted a linebacker. Now we don't need to pay Quan so much. Or, hey, there's a left tackle we want, you know, from Alabama. Let's get him. Okay, now Donovan Smith, you can go somewhere. You know, I think it'd be, and obviously, again, it's never going to happen, but it makes a lot more sense that you would get to have the draft before you had to start putting money into these free agents right and left. But that's not the way it works right now. As far as the running back situation goes, you know, we all saw it earlier this week. Kareem Hunt signed by the Browns. Saw a lot of blowback on Twitter. Oh my God, the Bucs missed an opportunity and this and that. So let me tell you my thoughts one more time on Kareem Hunt. And I've said this on the show before and other shows, I believe. But I'm totally okay with not signing Kareem Hunt. I'm not going to get into a whole moral and philosophical debate here about should you sign someone with his background or not. I'm totally fine with them not doing it. But even the off-field stuff aside, all right, he's a good player, but again, given what could be coming up in the draft, given the options in-house, I know you don't want to hear this, but the Bucks, Bruce Arians, and the staff, okay, they think Ronald Jones can have a total reset. And, you know, things got off to a bad start with him last year. He got hurt early. He never got going. The offense should be a better fit under Bruce Arians than it was. This staff thinks, hey, Ronald Jones can be a guy that we can rely on, that he can be a contributor. And if you look at last season, I mean, his numbers were abysmal. We all know that. But the Bucks also believe, and Rick Stroud wrote a whole article on this, they saw that more than half of Jones' carries, he was hit behind the line of scrimmage, which was kind of a theme with all the Bucks running backs. His confidence was bad. The Bucks coaching staff's confidence in him was bad. And again, Arians and the staff think they can do a lot better with Jones. And Stroud writes, quote, last season was almost like a redshirt year for Jones, and he should be better prepared. So, hey, fine with me. And again, the whole thing with Kareem Hunt and running backs in general, the Bucs need to upgrade their running game. There's no question about that. And I've said before on this show, although Kareem Hunt was available, obviously, you didn't have to use draft pick on him or anything like that, or even huge money given his background. But the running back thing, it's not that they're not important. It's that acquiring them at any point, whether it's high in the draft, low in the draft, not in the draft at all, free agency otherwise, leads to almost random results with how they turn out to be. So when I say you can get running backs anywhere, I don't mean that all running backs are the same and it doesn't matter who your running back is. I just mean that you don't have to go head over heels for one guy because the likelihood of that guy being an impact guy or not, okay, is pretty random, and it's as random as the likelihood of a different guy that you're going to get instead. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a stud, absolute stud, right? Just unbelievable. And what did how far did that take the Giants? What does that do for the Giants? You know, running backs. I'm never going to. There's no one guy. Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, he had a quote about the whole thing, and it wasn't about Kareem Hunt. It was about free agency in general. He said, "You can always recover from the player you didn't sign. You know, you miss out on a guy. Okay, you know that sucks, but you can always recover from that. It's harder to recover from the guy that you did sign. That was especially when you put a lot of money into it. Which again, Hunt, you know, he's more of a, you know, let's see what happens type 1 year thing. But still, folks, don't get so obsessed. Plus, again, now I will talk about the off-field thing, because all that was based on not even talking about the off-field part. Do we want to go down that road again? I mean, I'm not going to try and be Mr. Moral Superiority over here, but there's certain things, all right, that are just a reach beyond what I'm willing to do, and what Kareem Hunt has in his background is a reach beyond. And let me tell you something else. I say this knowing full well that I've supported the Buccaneers selecting and continuing to support and build around Jameis Winston, whose past at best is hazy. If you're not completely convinced of what he did, you at least cannot completely deny what he's accused of, maybe. I mean, we don't know for sure, you know, but so I don't necessarily know how we all come to the conclusions we come to, why Jameis Winston's okay with me and Kareem Hunt's not. You could accuse me of being hypocritical if you want to. But Jameis Winston is okay and Kareem Hunt's not. That's how I feel. And is some of that football related strictly? Yeah. Jameis Winston's a quarterback, Kareem Hunt's a running back. And I think Jameis Winston's got a chance to be much more important to this franchise than any running back, Kareem Hunt or anybody else ever will be. But I was never interested in Kareem Hunt, and when I heard that he'd gotten signed by the Browns, which was not surprising, I wasn't upset at all. And with Ronald Jones, this is what it comes back to with me. Whenever you have a new staff, obviously you don't know a lot about how they're going to be if they're completely new. But when you have someone like Bruce Arians who has a pedigree, I trust him. If he says, hey, let's see what we can do with Ronald Jones, I think we can make this work, good enough for me. Let's see what we can do with Ronald Jones, and maybe they can make this work. Off the field, the Bucs had another, and Joe wrote an article about it. It was funny. He's always got the one-liners good. He said the Bucs win another customer service Super Bowl, and it's true. For the fifth time in 7 years, which is astounding. Not that I don't think the Bucs do a good job with certain things, but the NFL Voice of the Fan survey went out. Fans spoke their piece, okay? And the Bucs, again, for the fifth time in 7 years, are number one out of 32 teams in customer service among season ticket holders. Congrats to the Bucs. All right, hey, 5-11 on the field, whatever. We got to clap it up for what happens off the field. They did it. They won another customer service Super Bowl. And I used to be a season ticket holder from 1996 when I first got my driver's license all the way through, I think it was 2010 or something. I can't remember the exact year. And I've been off the books since then. So I'm not technically a season ticket holder. I go to Bucks games as a fan a couple times a year, as a credentialed media member also a couple of times, and that's different. They're two different experiences, but just my fan experience is based on usually parking, like I said before, and you should all do this if you have a chance to go to a game, park in some little old lady's house just off of Himes there, back there by Lincoln and Leroy and Dewey, all those streets that run back there in the old neighborhood. You can park right next to Himes for like $20, and every successive block you go back, it goes down to 15, then 10, then 5. Just like you may have heard me talk about in the first 20 minutes of this show, I'm the type of guy that walks a little further and pays 5 instead of paying 20 and parking right in front. But you could do that. I buy my tickets outside, I go in. I rarely even buy concessions at the game, although now that I bring my son, I have to do more of that, because with a kid, you got to do something. Although for me, I'd go to the water fountain and drink water, and that's it when I go to a Bucks game. That's the type of guy I am. And hey, the fan experience to me is so heavily based on the team itself and how good are they. Going to a 9-3 team's Monday night game in late November, early December is an A++++++ fan experience. Going to a 3-8 team's Sunday at 1 o'clock game with 25,000 other people in the stands isn't as fun. But I have never had any problem with the way the Bucks actual, you know, fan presentation thing. I mean, the speakers are too loud, but that's another old man complaint for another day. But congrats to the Bucks. You can't deny that they won the thing. Again, fifth time in 7 years, and they are the customer service Super Bowl champions. That is not an official name, by the way. They don't call it that. Joe called it that, and I thought it was pretty funny. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. I forgot to give that out earlier in the show. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Quick story about post-Super Bowl Monday here, and then I want to get to the New Jersey high school football thing. But just to wrap up any residual stuff from the Super Bowl. So today, I had an experience dropping my kid off at school, and maybe you guys can help me if you think that this sounded bad. I didn't realize it at the time, but I might have said something that sounded bad. I had to drop, my kid forgot his Valentine's box. You know how they put all the, you know, the stupid exchange of all the trinkets and crap they get, and they all bring a box to put it in. And I forgot to put it in with his stuff, so I brought it back over to school. And the secretary up front, who I've been friendly with in the past, noticeably cooler attitude toward me today. Notice, I don't want to say chilly, but just a little bit, you know. And I remembered an exchange on the Monday after the Super Bowl last week. I brought my kid into school late the Monday after the Super Bowl. On purpose. I mean, it was a controlled burn, if you will. It was designed. Because I let him stay up for the game. I'm one of those people that, you know, believes in science, reads the science. Sleep is more important than anything else, especially at the age they are. I mean, you got the all of us, though. I mean, sleep is so important. So I let him stay up for the game. Then that next morning when it was time to go, and school starts too early, but it was time to get him out of bed at 7:15. And he wasn't just kind of restless, like, I don't want to get out of bed, Dad, or I'd make him get out of bed. He was literally just out, like unconscious. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him another 30, 40 minutes. We'll just be late. I'm going to bring him in. So I let him do that. He slept till close to 8 o'clock. School starts at 7:40, Hillsborough County Public Schools, for the little guys. It gets later for middle and high school. But 7:40 is really early. So he didn't even get out of bed till like 7:45. And I live right down the street from the school. So then we took our time, gave him his breakfast, brought him in, you know, 8:30, whatever it was. And so he's about 45 minutes late, whatever. So I get in there to bring them in, and you have to bring them into the office when they're late. You don't just bring them to their room. And you have to check in. They say, okay, was there a reason for him being late? Do you have a doctor's appointment or something? And I said, just without even thinking, just again, just completely talking out of my ass, I said, no, just a little Super Bowl hangover, that's all. And thinking, hey, just she gets it. You know, everybody knows the Super Bowl was last night. And this look on her face, like, washed over her face. And she kind of muttered something under her breath. I couldn't hear what she said, but I heard her repeat the word hangover. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll see you later. And I just walked out. And now, in hindsight, I think what happened is she thinks I was saying that I was literally hungover and couldn't get my kid to school on time. When I only meant, no, we're just, you know, went to bed late, like that type of hangover. A little Super Bowl hangover, late night last night, and I let my kids sleep in. So now I think the secretary at my kid's school thinks I'm a total lush, and then I brought my kid into school late the Monday after the Super Bowl because I got just completely annihilated and couldn't get myself or my kid out of bed in time to go to school. And that was confirmed this morning, like I said, when I dropped off the thing in the office, and usually she's pretty cheery toward me, and today it was, oh, just leave it right there, thank you. Bye, sir. Now I'm a little worried. I don't want this to have any adverse effects on my kid. So I think, do I need to go back in there and say, hey, you know, a couple weeks ago when I said Super Bowl hangover, you know, I don't even drink. I don't even drink alcohol, okay? But I think that they think now that I'm like that dad. So should I say something next week or should I just let this go? Maybe let a few weeks pass. I mean, ideally, you're not even in the office because my kid shouldn't be late anymore between now and then. But I think I'm going to lay low for a little while and just let it play out. But I'm a little worried about it. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But my son, you know, he's seven. And I said, okay, this year, for the first time in your life and forevermore, pretty much, you're not going to miss a down at the Super Bowl. You get to stay up and watch the whole game. And he was elated. I figure I'm looking back to when I was that age, and I remember watching the Super Bowl in full for the first time when it was Bears-Patriots, and that was when I was, I think, in kindergarten, That was the first time I remember staying up and watching the whole game, and that's my earliest Super Bowl memory. So he's old, and so that's it. I'm not going to put him to bed during the Super Bowl anymore. I figure he's old enough now. I'm not saying I'm going to let him be late every Monday after the Super Bowl either. But you know what? It is President's Day weekend this weekend, and there's no school Monday if I'm... Am I correct about that? That's this weekend, isn't it? Let me check my calendar. Yeah, President's Day is Monday, so... I have said for a long time, and I think this is something we really need to look at, and this is with all due respect to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, and I know that their birthdays are kind of how they determine President's Day because they both fall around this time, but bump President's Day back a couple weeks, and no, don't say, oh no, 18-game schedule, Bobby, then play the Super Bowl President's Day week. I don't want that. Bump President's Day back a couple weeks, make it the day after the Super Bowl. I think it'd be a lot more fun for everybody. That's the only flaw, and the Super Bowl should be on Sunday. I don't want a Saturday Super Bowl, but the only flaw in it is having to go to work the next day for a lot of people. It'd be much more of a party atmosphere if we had it on a non-work night, so that's just my two cents there. Finally, a little story coming out today that I wanted to comment on real quick, because I'm seeing a lot of negative reaction to it by people, mostly who I'll bet either played football a very long time ago or didn't play football at all. New York Times, the headline, New Jersey unveils new limits on high school football practices. Starting this fall, New Jersey high school football teams will be limited to 15 minutes of full contact per week during practice. And you should see the replies on some, oh my God, they're killing the game of football. Here we go, get the skirts out. How are they going to learn to tackle if you don't do it in practice? Blah, 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 blah. Maybe the first line of the article should be telling. Facing a significant decline in the number of students playing high school football, the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association adopted new guidelines on Wednesday to sharply reduce the amount of contact allowed in practices and address concerns about player safety. Folks, okay? First of all, let's define full contact here. Full contact means to the ground. 15 minutes a week seems like plenty of that to begin with. The previous was 90 minutes per week. Especially in high school where you have a short week. I mean, you're not practicing on the weekend. So Monday's usually a light day coming off the game on Friday night. Tuesday and Wednesday are your big, like, okay, full gear, we're going to hit those days. And then Thursday's pregame in shorts and helmets. And then Friday's the game. That's how you typical, I mean, it depends on different places, I guess. But I've played high school football. I've coached high school football. My parents, my dad, and my uncle coached high school football, and I was a ball boy. I've been around high school football my entire life. That's usually how it works. And let me say, okay, you can, one, teach kids to tackle, teach them the form and all that, without having to bash heads for more than 15 minutes a week. Number two, if you love football as much as I do, you should probably be interested in it lasting. And I don't think football is going anywhere. I mean, football is far and away king, even with the reduction in participation that has been going on around the country. And it's more pronounced in some places than others. Here in Florida, it's been down everywhere. But if you go to a high school football game on Friday night, there's 40, 50 kids on both sidelines. Some places like Plant High School, you know, you go to their games, they got 70 kids over there. Football ain't going anywhere, okay? But, and this is a quote from Jesse Mez. He's an associate professor of neurology at Boston University. He's a member of the school's Alzheimer's Center and CTE Center. He applauded the new regulations. He said, quote, "I think there are better ways of playing team sports and getting exercise than repeatedly hitting your head. But given the country's interest in football and how much everybody loves it, if we are not going to stop playing, then we should reduce the amount of contact as much as we can." Perfectly said. Perfectly said. I love football as much as anybody. I believe in football. As I've said before, I'm not doing a whole show on CTE today, but you know, there's a difference between playing for 10, 15 years at the highest levels of Division I and the NFL and over and over and over again against the best athletes in the world and simply playing 4 years of high school football. How many millions of people are walking around today that played 4 years of high school football? Me among them, probably a lot of you, all my buddies, you know, we're all fine and we're all going to be fine. I mean, there's incidents of certain things that can happen with injuries and you know, the repeated contact and things like that, but just a regular random average Joe playing 4 years of high school football, there's a lot of us out there. And I'm not, like, I played 4 years of high school football. I've been laid out a couple times. I probably had a concussion or two, never officially diagnosed, but I can imagine I probably have. And I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I, you know, I've never experienced any effects of anything at this point in my life, and I'm 38. And I think I'm pretty normal. And I think most of the people I know who played are also pretty normal. Okay? So, with that said, though, there are obviously issues. You can't deny the science. And so, why not? Hey, listen, you don't need to hit that much in practice, okay? You really, really, truly don't. You can learn a lot of things with tackling dummies. You can learn a lot of things with a thing called thud. Yeah, this is the other thing. People don't know what full contact means. It means to the ground, which most teams now, NFL, college, and high school, they do what's called thud. You wrap up, you hit the guy, and that's it. The whistle blows. You don't need to go to that. I mean, there's just no reason for it. There's no reason to be hitting people on your own. Even when we do it, you know, I've played semi-pro football for the Dunedin Pirates as a 38-year-old, okay, for free. I pay them. You had to pay a league fee to do it, all right? And even in practice there, when we do hit, it feels weird to just lay out a member of my own team. I just, you know, I understand you have to do a little bit of it, and you do live scrimmaging and things like that for a while. 15 minutes is plenty, and this is during the season. In preseason camp, you get 6 total hours, which, again, is quite a bit. And if you do a half hour of it a day, that's 12 practices. You can do it for a half an hour, and that's fine. And then you can do a little bit of it during the season. You know, you can do 5-10 minutes of it in drills or whatever on the Tuesday and Wednesday practices, and you don't need to do it any other time. So I think it's totally fine. I think, like I always say, if we all love football as much as we say we do, we better get used to the idea of making a few concessions here to keep it going. And I think this is a good idea. So all the people on Twitter are like, oh my God, put the skirts on, this and that. You see all these responses, and I really wonder how many of them did it. And I also wonder, even for the ones that did play football, why do you have such a hard-on that people have to be hitting each other in practice? What do you care? I mean, do you really think it makes that much of a difference? Like, do you really think you're going to watch football and you're going to notice, oh, they haven't been hitting in practice, I can tell? I mean, the way they hit each other now is terrible. And that's with them being allowed to have tackling in practice. These guys don't know how to wrap up. This is at all levels, even the NFL. The way they just duck their heads and launch themselves missile-like at people. And I said before, I wouldn't mind just seeing what football looks like without helmets and pads. Or with soft helmets and pads, like rugby-type helmets. They have those cloth things with padding in them. I wouldn't mind seeing what that's like. Just checking it out. And they do have a couple of leagues, but it's not with professional players. But, God, there's nothing worse. I remember a couple times in practice, you know, the 90s is hardly old school. I mean, my dad and people of that generation played in the 60s and 70s high school football. And, you know, it was the Wild West. But I remember so many times, like, doing these drills. One time it was, like, raining. It was, like, dark and the lights weren't working. We had, like, a floodlight. Pouring rain under a floodlight on the practice field at, like, 7 p.m. And just wham, 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 just running into each other. And I remember turning to my buddy Drew, who, he was a center, I was a wideout. We were both backups. And I just, we were the kind of the smart-ass kids, you know, always made cracks and stuff. I'd be like, are we getting better at football right now? Like, are we really getting better at anything football-related right now? Or is this just some fetish of, oh, we're going to go later than any other team out there, and we're going to ram each other into the ground, we're going to hit, we're going to be tougher. You know, are you getting better at football? No. Now, you do need to learn to tackle, and there are ways to do that. But I applaud this rule. I hope they bring it into more states than just New Jersey. Again, football's a rough game. It'll always be a rough game. It needs to stay a rough game. But it needs to be confined as much as possible to the actual games. We don't need the gratuitous stuff when there's not even anybody watching. There's no fans in the stands and no scores being kept. There's a way to practice football very, very well without doing all that headbanging stuff, or at least not a lot of it. You know, and bull in the ring, all that, whatever that stuff, you know, we don't have to be doing that. That's more, again, like a personal fetish type thing some of these coaches have, I think. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening. That's my little hitting soapbox for the day, hitting in practice soapbox. I want to thank the Joes for getting the show on the air, like always. I appreciate them giving me the chance to be on this platform. the best site, bar none, the best place, bar none, for Bucks coverage on the internet or anywhere else, joebucksfan.com. I want to thank my good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for listening. Again, if you have thoughts, I love hearing them. Email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch Valentine's edition. We'll be back next week, next Thursday, just like always. And until then, wherever you are, enjoy week two in the AAF. We didn't get to talk AAF this week. I'll probably do it next week. Whatever else you're going to do this weekend, be safe, have fun. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.